You're listening to the podcast for those who have looked beyond the edge of the world.
And can't stop talking about it.
Welcome to Talking Beasts.
From NarniaWeb.com.
Where we explore the world of C.S. Lewis.
And keep a watchful eye.
On the latest Narnia movie news,
this
is Talking Beasts.
Hello, I am Rillian.
And I'm Glumpuddle.
And we are back.
We're back. It's been a couple months.
Oh, and someone else is also here. My son, Henry. My wife is going to get home soon, and we'll be helping him out. But he's riding the struggle bus a little bit right now.
Henry might interject if he has a particularly strong opinion on something.
Yeah, he might.
This was not a problem 10 years ago, was it?
No, it wasn't. Not when I was, I won't say how old I am. It was not a problem in 2004, 2005. What's the matter? What's the matter? Do you want your own microphone?
Podcasting
Don't worry, I'm
makes
sure
him sad.
Fine on this one. Oh, there you go, buddy.
Maybe he has some feedback to share with us.
Maybe. He just watched Voyage of the Dawn Treader. It was a bit rough.
That was about my reaction as well.
Yes.
Actually, not far off.
No. So we took a bit of a hiatus.
Mm-hmm.
And during that time, well, really, a lot of stuff happened, actually, in terms of just us discussing the podcast, you guys discussing it with us. And I need to say thank you for everyone who sent in feedback. A lot of you did. You posted comments, and we discussed it. We went over pretty much every single comment.
And I guess a real quick list of the people that posted feedback. Big thanks to Shasta's Twin, NarniFan7, Fireberry, Cole Clink, that's how you say it, Twin Image, and Finwin, Narnia Nana, Skillet Dude, HP of Narnia, Andy, Eustace, Roger, Forrest Librand, that's how you say it, Tiriana, Wagga Werewolf, Lady Bess of Wistry, Hogglestock, Felon Vevel, this is getting interesting. Jonathan Paper, almost there, and Sema. Thank you for posting feedback. Some of it was positive, some of it was negative, all of it was helpful. So thank you very much.
So what we wanted to do is we're kind of taking, in some ways this podcast is still kind of a break. We're basically just wanting to kind of go forward. We're going to kind of go backward first, discuss some of kind of how we got to where we are, and then we're going to discuss how we're going to go forward. And we still want you guys to be a part of that discussion.
Yeah.
So really the best way to really start off is in terms of how we both got into Narnia. I mean, that's really the origin of this whole story.
How we got to the point to where we decided it's worth doing a bi-weekly podcast, doing nothing but Chronicles of Narnia.
Basically, this podcast is going to be a story that you guys are going to be a part of. And
that was really touching. That was good.
It's true. It is true. But I'll start off with myself. You know, I think I remember what room I think because we moved a few times as a kid. We were still in when my dad would read to us as a kid the Chronicles of Narnia. My dad read all kinds of books. He read Sherlock Holmes, Lord of the Rings, the Chronicles of Narnia. And he read it in the correct order.
Wardrobe first.
He read it wardrobe first. And I remember not a lot because I was pretty young, but I remember a lot of my impressions. I remember how stunned I was with the horse and his boy, with Peter and Susan and Edmund and Lucy being grown-ups like they were at the end of Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe. Mm-hmm. I remember my dad, you know, after we've gone through a number of them, saying, because I don't think I knew how many there were. I don't think he ever said, hey, there's 7 books. We're on, you know, the first one or the second or third one. Uh-huh. I think he just started. And so I was just kind of experiencing it as it came. And he said, you do know that there's actually a book about when Narnia was founded, when Narnia began. I thought, oh, and I had it in my mind, I actually thought, because I saw the books my dad was reading, I thought, my dad has this ancient tome on top of his shelf somewhere. He has a book. It's probably about, you know, the size of a family Bible, probably gigantic, dusty, written
papyrus
in ancient text. And it's probably, oh my goodness, my dad has the book that tells how Narnia came to be. So it was really a magical time in my life, just I mean, my imagination was operating at 110%, and it was just, it was fun. It was awesome. And what I loved in my dad was all about letting us experience the stories without trying to, I mean, he would help us explore the stories without trying to explain the stories, if that's a good way of putting it, because he'd help us learn and see, oh, what's the significance of this in the story without saying, hey, so this means this, this does this. Because, and you can easily, I think, ruin a lot of stories and really literature in general when you just try to take away the exploration.
Crack the
code. Yeah, crack the code, exactly.
Uh-oh, cracking the someone's trying to crack the code.
My son's trying to crack something off to the side. Uh-oh. So that was my really my intro to Narnia.
Okay. I first started, I think I grew up somehow having a general impression of what Chronicles of Narnia was because my grandfather taught a college course on Lewis and Tolkien. So whenever I would go over there, I would see Narnia books and other C.S. Lewis books. I have vague memories of him showing us the BBC versions. So which I remember just enough of to when I eventually read Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, I was kind of, I kind of recognized this when during the first scene with Lucy and Tumnus, at least. But so I was about 12, I think, and one night I had a stuffy nose and I couldn't sleep, and I was really frustrated that I couldn't sleep, so I just came out into our family room and was just waiting around being miserable. It's like 2 o'clock in the morning, and I noticed this set of books that had, these are pretty cool looking covers. Thank God they were in publication order. So I just, I just started skimming through them and picked up Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, but I meant to just read like the first page. And next thing you know, I was halfway through the book.
So how old were you?
So I was about 12.
Okay.
And so I read half of the book in one sitting, which is a big deal for me. I don't usually read in big chunks. Woke up the next day and read the rest, and then immediately knew, okay, I'm going to read the rest of the series. First time I read it through, I read it very, very quickly, and the first time through, Silverchair was my favorite book. Then as soon as I was done, about a week later with the series, I said, okay, I want to go through these again, but I want to go through very slowly and really soak it in, so I would just read no more than a chapter a day. Then the second time through, Last Battle was my favorite. Then after the third time, it was Dawn Treader, and it's been Dawn Treader ever since. But it's still amazing to me that years later, not only are they not old, even having talked about them for hours. We have some. Is your wife home?
Yeah, our fierce, vicious, gigantic, absolutely enormous hounds are protecting the estate, and so they're
put something back
they're,
there.
They're yipping and yapping. Yes. But yeah, the
so much going on.
No, it's just life going on.
Exciting podcast already. Where was I?
Third
just the fact
through,
that they never got old.
Voice of Dawn Treader became your favorite.
Yep, just discover new things every time. And yeah, when I heard I think it's a world I really enjoyed being in, and that's why I go back to them again and again. Is I really, really enjoy the atmosphere, even though there's obviously plot suspense is not a factor anymore. Because I read it so many times, I still enjoy going into that world. Mm-hmm. And Lewis really does a good job of making you feel like this is a real place that has every location they go to has a distinct aura about it.
I think there's something... sorry, I cut you off. Go ahead.
Yeah, that's fine. And so I think that's the thing that's really appealing about it. And then when I was younger, I think that's what really got my attention, just loving being in that world. And as an adult, what I love about it is I'm kind of inherently kind of a cynical person. And when I read Narnia, I just can't be cynical. I think it's one of those things. Narnia makes me believe in cheesy things again, basically. It's like it makes it I want to believe in, yes, and right and wrong and chivalry and honor and justice. And it doesn't sound cheesy to talk about those things when I'm reading the Chronicles of Narnia. And especially with just turn on the news, the stuff going on in the world. I need that in my life. And so when I heard they were making movies, I felt not just excited to see a movie version of my favorite book, but really protective that this isn't just another fantasy epic. This is something that really means something to me. You should treat it with respect.
Yeah. Well, you know, I was thinking, there's something to be said for Narnia is one of those worlds where, and maybe before Middle Earth, because my dad started The Lord of the Rings when I was really little, And I was following it fine, but then Shelob was just too much. I think I was five. And so we stopped Lord of the Rings. I think we then went to Narnia, maybe some Sherlock Holmes, and then came back to Lord of the Rings. So I think I experienced Narnia first. And it was one of those worlds where, and you see this, I mean, you know, sometimes you think, oh man, it'd be fun to be a Jedi, or it'd be cool to be Aragorn in Lord of the Rings or something. But you experience these worlds where they're just, you just think, man, this would be fun. This would be amazing. Uh-huh. You just want to experience more of it. Uh-huh. And so Narnia was one of my first exposures to a world like that. And my whole family really loved it. And it kind of led to how I ended up actually ultimately discovering Narnia Web. Because my whole family loved Narnia.
Right.
And I'm trying to remember when this was exactly, but my family was on a trip in Colorado, and I'm not making this up. My mom was out of the car, we were all in the car, I think she was at a gas station or something. She got out of the car, did something, and she actually heard a word on the street. And I think this was 2002 or three. And mm-hmm. she said, oh my goodness, she goes, boys, you won't believe what's going on. I had two younger brothers. She goes, some wealthy guy in Denver has just bought the rights to the Chronicles of Narnia movies, and he's going to start making movies. Mm-hmm. And I actually looked it up. I think 2002 was around the time that Anschutz.
So a few years before the movie actually came out.
Yeah. And so that was how I thought. And so I kind of had it in the back of my mind, and then I just started Googling Narnia stuff online.
Yeah, same here. After I found out, every probably a couple times a week, just Google Narnia movie and see if there's anything that's come out.
Uh-huh.
And eventually come across
NarniaWeb.com.
And, you know, eventually I became, you know, I'm posting a lot. Eventually get invited to become a news poster.
See, I was an observer for a long time. And then felt like a long time. I joined, I think, 4 months after you did. August 28, 2004. When I actually joined the forum and started posting.
And then Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe comes out. And a couple months after that, I think it was, this guy really in contacts me with, I'm starting to do this Narnia podcast. And my first question was, what's a podcast? And I remember the first one I was in, which was actually by telephone.
Yes. You were in your car.
I was in my car because it was the only place I could find that was like quiet enough. I was still, you know, living at home at the time, had a lot of siblings, so it was the only place I could go that was quiet enough to record. But I
just say on the podcast how many siblings you have.
I have six sisters and two brothers.
There you go. So, lots of glum puddles.
Had to go. Had to go into my car to find a quiet space. But so that was really, I guess, where the podcast changed into more discussion based. And I think I immediately connected with it because it was just, it felt so good to talk about this stuff, I think, because I just feel like the Chronicles of Narnia, this is why I think the podcast, for me, why I've wanted to keep up with it, because I feel like the Chronicles of Narnia are criminally underrated. I think there's this tendency to, I think people, this is the part of Michael Ward's Planet Narnia book that I haven't read the book, but I've heard him talk about it. And the part of the whole Michael Ward Planet Narnia thing that I do agree with, he talks about how people say, oh, I get it, Aslan's a Jesus lion. Okay, and they don't look any further and think, that's it, I've cracked the code like we were talking about, I figured it out, mm-hmm. there's obviously nothing else. And I think there's a lot more going on that people don't, just the series does not get the credit it deserves. It's mm-hmm. so underrated as a work of literature. And so that's one of the reasons why. I feel like I come across people who are talking like that a lot, and that's always like a motivate. And that's where I always feel like, oh, I got to record a podcast right now and set the record straight and let people know there's so much more going on here. And so there's so many things in these books that's just worth talking about and that I feel like the world needs right now, today, in the year 2018.
Yeah.
So that's kind of the idea behind the podcast, is trying to draw attention to that.
Yeah.
And fortunately, people seem to kind of relate to it and enjoy it. And we got a number of emails and tweets and stuff saying, bring the podcast back, when we were on hiatus. And one person tweeted, my life is boring, bring the podcast back. So, so I'm really happy that people seem to be relating to the idea.
Yeah. And and I ended up not really trying to. I ended up kind of discussing Narnia less on the forums, probably because I was getting so much discussion, you know, with you and with Jim Fan and with all the other people that I had on the podcast. And eventually it mm-hmm. morphed into this thing that kind of took on a life of its own. And what I loved about it was Of course, Narnia Web ended up adopting the podcast, and you know, which was fantastic because we were going to do the April Fool's thing, and we started up syncing up our stories for an April Fool's joke, and then it took off from there. And you know, what I loved about it was that everyone got to discuss, and other people got to listen in, and I loved that it took on a life of its own, because you know, life happened, and, and I got busy at a few phases of life, and other people, because it just kind of continued. And you and I had a discussion at one point, like, hey, where are we going to take this podcast in the future, you know? And you said something like, you know, man, I kind of want to, you know, I know this is your baby, and you know, and I said, yeah, but you know what, I want the podcast to have a life of its own. It would make me so sad if, for some reason, because I'm, you know, because whatever rhythm is thrown off, it just dies. I want it to belong to the Narnia Webbers. And that was really my number one goal.
It's just, exactly. It's been really cool to see the listeners. And we really saw this with the response to, I was really surprised at the response to, we were asking for feedback, and we got so many thoughtful.
The comments have come alive in the podcast section.
The comments section really has, and I'm really happy with when we kind of switched from being sporadic, because before we were just doing this whenever we had an idea or whenever there was news,
which worked great when it was frequent news.
Yeah, so the podcast could be months apart sometimes if there wasn't movie news to talk about, and so finally last year it was like, let's try to actually see if we can sustain, that's the key word we'll talk about as we're going over the feedback, sustain a regular podcast and keep the content churning and maybe have an interaction. And it seems like it's going okay so far, but there are some things I think we want to change and address that we'll talk about soon. But yeah, I'm really happy that it seems like overall people are kind of getting into this.
Yeah. And obviously, we wanted to, especially when news slowed down, we started thinking of what other things can we do? What other things do people like? And so
there's certainly enough content in the books. There's certainly plenty of stuff to talk about.
So, you know, we've done book commentaries on Prince Caspian, on Voyage of the Dawn Treader, on The Silver Chair. We've done two movie commentaries. You know,
people ask for a Dawn Treader commentary sometimes, and it's just, it would just be, if it was you or me, it's just going to be a lot of complaining.
Yeah, at some point, it's like, you know,
I don't think it'd be that pleasant to listen to.
Yeah, and the other thing is, like, I get that, like, we're not representative of all of Narnia Web, you know, it's not one whole, one, just one opinion out there. There's a lot of people,
some
who
people
like
listening,
the Dawn Treader.
Some people listening like the Dawn Treader movie, at least liked it more than Prince Caspian, and we definitely like Caspian more than Dawn Treader.
Yeah, so I didn't want to just make a gripe fest. That's my only, I don't want to, just a whine fest.
Now, Jim Fan, if we do it, it would have to be Jim Fan, because Jim Fan
doesn't. It would have to be
Jim
Fan.
She doesn't,
although she's
like
become
Dawn
more
Treader.
Cynical, too.
Well, yeah, she doesn't like it, but she certainly doesn't hate it. And there's plenty of things about it that she will defend. But the problem is, as far as the commentary, it's like, we'll have a disagree. If it was me and Jim Fan, we would disagree about the opening scene and talk about that for the next hour. Meanwhile, we're missing all these other scenes. So anyway, maybe we'll figure out a way to do it.
Yeah. But yeah, so we've been thinking about, what do we want the podcast to be, and what things do people enjoy? And I mean, there's certain things like the Susan podcast.
What do listeners want it to be?
Yeah,
that's
what
the
do
real
the listeners
question.
Want? And, you know, the Susan podcast was popular. And so we've looked at other certain topics. I mean, you can't do a gajillion of them because, you know, at some point, and here's part of the difficulty is, at some point we've discussed the same things multiple times.
Yes, and that was a theme in the feedback.
It's been 14 years now. 13 years.
Yeah, there's a fair amount of repetition. A few people in the feedback mentioned that we tend to repeat ourselves a fair amount. A few people mentioned that in the feedback, we tend to repeat ourselves every now and then. A few people, I know.
That was forced.
That was more than I deserved.
Shame on you.
But so yeah, a few people mentioned repetition to a point that's inevitable because it's the Chronicles of Narnia. I mean, it's such a specific topic, and also kind of the focus on the movie news. We tend to circle back to the same issues. That said, there's three Narnia books, Horse and His Boy, Magician's Nephew, Last Battle, that we haven't given nearly the attention we've given to the other books.
And yeah, and some of that's been, you know, as we think, oh man, are we gonna get those movies? But we've started thinking about, I mean, I don't know when you want to announce our next project.
Well, let's just do it. We're basically looking at, because we did the first four, we did a sort of just a 1 hour quick commentary for Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, and did multi-episode commentaries, kind of chapter by chapter on Caspian, Dawn Treader, and Silver Chair. And recently a few people said, why don't you do The Horse and His Boy? And even just honestly, every few months or so, someone will ask me, when are you guys going to do the book commentaries again? And I'm not even really sure why we stopped those. So that's what we're thinking right now, is that we'll starting in 2 weeks, we'll start a Horse and His Boy book commentary, because that's what people seem to be asking about. Mm-hmm. A multi-episode commentary, probably we're thinking, I don't know, somewhere between 5 and 8 episodes, whatever long it takes to kind of just go through the book chapter by chapter and talk about the issues and what we like about it, or if there's something in it that sparks discussion about a larger issue in general, we get into that. I mean, whatever, we'll see where it goes. But basically, post any comments below what you think of that idea, starting with A Horse and His Boy.
And book obviously, commentary. As news comes up, you know, if casting announcements and things like that come up, we'll just continue to insert those as time comes up. And
if we have to interrupt it and talk about news, we can do that, but then just try to pick it up again right afterwards. Yeah.
So I'm looking forward to it. I love The Horse and His Boy. It's such it's a okay, unique story in the canon.
Uh-huh. Yeah, it really is.
In some ways, sometimes I wonder if it's my second favorite. It might be. There's so much there.
It's my second favorite.
Yeah.
Which the fact that we both have Dawn Treader number one, Horse and His Boy number two, we both agree on that, right? So that kind of, there was a, it's interesting, one theme in the feedback is that we like to get more voices and more perspectives on the podcast. That was another thing people kind of hit. Mm-hmm. People also said, oh, we like Rillian and Glumpuddle together. They have great chemistry, which I agree with. And so those are almost two competing ideas.
Yeah, and here's the other thing that is, here's what's a challenge for us, is because we like to, and there's sometimes we've picked comments from the comment section or the forums and try to bring Narnia Webbers in. And sometimes it's worked well. Sometimes it hasn't as well, in terms of just trying to get it to mesh well. Part of the challenge is there's some people who I think write really well and very articulately, but maybe they just wouldn't prefer or to do a voice on the podcast.
Well, I think it's more.
We're trying to include, lots of people that, you know, and sometimes the podcast isn't always the way to do it.
I think the challenge is sometimes it's hard to integrate other people's comments with you and I having a natural discussion.
Mm-hmm.
And like just the same kind of fun, passionate discussion we would have even if the microphones weren't on. And sometimes it is a little difficult to seamlessly integrate.
Mm-hmm.
Listener comments, and I think we found a format which you'll kind of see in the coming weeks that kind of makes that a little bit easier. But I think we want to get more voices on here. At the same time, as far as sustainability and being able to get one of these out every couple of weeks, we have found it's a little easier if it's just me and Rillian. We can kind of get into a rhythm. Mm-hmm. We can record multiple episodes at the same time.
Yeah.
And things like that. So
time
moving
zones,
forward, with
little logistics like that. That's something like one thing I wanted to do forever that I was never able to do was because Jince used to jump on the podcast and I had Warrior for Jesus on the podcast. And Jince is in the UK, Warrior's in Australia. And I thought this would be awesome to get three continents on there. But like time zones alone prevented that from happening.
Uh-huh. And so I think moving forward, it'll be it'll be mostly me and Rillian. And then obviously on occasion, we'll get other people in there to mix things up or give us a break or whatever. But that's really just kind of a practical thing.
Mm-hmm.
Then as far as getting, so one small way we're addressing the desire for more voices, you'll hear at the end of this episode, we've got a couple new segments that I think will help. But sort of the standard episode for it moving forward would be just kind of me and Rillian. And we'll open, we're thinking now every other episode will begin with just several minutes of looking at comments, and that's all we do.
Mm-hmm.
Rather than trying to kind of
have our own mailbag.
Yeah, rather than try to integrate comments in naturally into the discussion, which is kind of difficult, have our own section where we're just looking at comments, or which would be comments below or in the newly created Talking Beasts Facebook group.
Mm-hmm.
Which is the most obvious idea in the world. We should have done this a long time ago. It's not public at the moment. It will be when this episode goes live. And I'm hoping that'll be a great place to we can just, if we have a question, hey, got listeners, what do you think about this?
Yep. Kind of give it a life of its own.
Yeah, in between episodes, you know, and if you know, I think that's be a great way to have some communication there.
And here's
so just go to Facebook and search for Talking Beasts, and the group should come up.
And that also gives us an avenue into something else that people have brought up. You know, we've done one video podcast, and
technically two, because we split it up. So technically two.
Technically two, that's true. But and
I just say really quick. I'm really, as an editor who's edited most of these for the past few years, I am proud of the fact that, look, judging from the comments, most people, not most people, a lot of people don't seem to be aware that we're not in the same room right now for these podcasts, which was always the goal as
that
an editor, was to make
yes.
it was to make it sound like we're together.
That is the goal.
But the fact is, Rillian and I are not in the same state right now. There was that one time for
that
the eclipse
one time.
Where we met up.
Yeah, and it was awesome, and it took a... quite literally an act of God to bring everyone together in one state.
So maybe for the next total solar eclipse, we can do another video podcast. Hundreds of years that is.
2024, I think is the next.
Oh, never
one.
Mind.
Yeah. So, but no, people said, oh, we loved the video podcast. And we have talked about, like, how can we do that? And part of the technology hasn't, ironically, advanced very far in terms of making podcasts easier to do in the last several years. You still are recording, and you have multiple pieces of software opening, and people are sending files to one another, and it's hard to do video wise without it looking kind of cheap.
Yeah, well, and also with video, there's a lot of challenges that come along with video.
You need
more
consistent internet line.
More just way bigger file sizes, and it's more, if you're going to try to, and some people said, okay, well, if you can't be in the same room, you know, like, what if you had some other kind of visual component? What if you just had pictures or things like that? That's a possibility. Maybe we'll do that on occasion for special episodes, but as far as our regular ones we're churning out bi-weekly, it's just, that's a lot of work for us. Let's say a 30-minute discussion to find images for that. It may seem like it. I do this for a living, and I work with clients all the time. You just have no clue how long this takes.
Yeah.
But to have any level of decent quality, it takes a lot of time to do that, and that's just not realistic to do that every 2 weeks. Maybe every few months or something. Maybe we'll try that. But
one of the cool things about the Facebook group is the Facebook group actually allows us to not necessarily we're looking at doing video chats, but every once in a while post. Hey, here's our, oh my goodness, I just saw the new teaser trailer for the Silver Chair. Here's
just
my
selfie
reaction.
Videos of ourselves, you know?
Yeah. And so if people want to actually see us, maybe that might be the best way to do it. And so we've discussed that. And so that might be a good opportunity that the Facebook page or Facebook group will provide.
Facebook Live, I think, will be really fun.
Yeah.
There's definitely some untapped potential there with that. So again, Talking Beast Facebook group, head over there, and we're experimenting with how we're going to utilize that right now. But really looking forward to that. And then Horse and His Boy next.
You know, there's some of these new segments we do that, like, if everyone just thinks, you know, this just doesn't work as well, you know, we can always roll with something
else. Let us know, please.
Yeah, let us know.
Yeah. And I think NarniWeb is also sort of first and foremost, NarniWeb.com is about giving fans of Narnia a voice, especially with the movies coming out.
Yeah.
Giving a spotlight and a platform that fans can stand on and kind of give their reaction to the filmmakers, really. It's all about holding filmmakers accountable. And the podcast is about a similar thing, giving... it's not just you and me, though. It's about listeners, obviously. If we can figure out a way to incorporate comments into the discussion, it's about giving everybody a voice and platform to stand on.
Yeah, and we've played with different ways of, you know, different kinds of questions or audio questions maybe in the future that we might incorporate from different people. Because the thing is, it's so much easier to record now. Every laptop's going to be able to record and stuff like that. So,
So
a lot of things we're playing with.
We're going to try to stump a Narnia Webber here shortly. There's another thing people mentioned, by the way, is keep the stump a Narnia Webber thing. That's fun. So we are going to keep that. And I'm going to try to stump Rillian here in a few minutes.
Then we might take a hiatus for this episode.
But before we do that, I'm going to introduce a couple new regular segments. And for the first one, we're going to be accepting 1 to 3 minute audio submissions from you, the listener, talking about how you discovered Narnia, what you like about it, your favorite book, favorite character, whatever else you want to talk about, really, about that pertains to Narnia in 1 or 3 minutes. And we're going to be calling that segment Voices of Narnia Web. And are we ready to roll that right now? Are we through with anything you want to add, or can we go into the jump in?
Let's go.
Okay. So for so you can send submissions to podcast@narniaweb.com. There'll be more directions in the episode description. But for our first voice of NarniaWeb, I thought it would be cool to have the founder of NarniaWeb himself.
Voices of NarniaWeb.
Hello, talking beasts. This is Tyrion from Idaho. I first saw The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe when I was probably 4 years old. My parents had this old book. It was the 1970 edition with the 1970s artwork from Roger Hain, and it had this picture on the cover with these two doors and these four children in coats in this long lane of trees and a castle and stars and a moon. And that picture just captured my imagination. It was so, so interesting to me. So I pestered my mom. Come on, Mom, I really want to read this. Can you read this book to me? Am I old enough? Can you read this book to me? And she said, oh, no, not yet. You're not old enough. And finally, I think I was like 4 years old, and she said, okay. She gave in, and she read it to me, and I just loved it. And soon I got to read the rest of them, and you know, just loved them all. They're just such fantastic stories. I think my favorite story, my favorite book is probably The Magician's Nephew. It's a little bit like having to pick your favorite child, like it's kind of impossible, but I just love the imagination of the creation of Narnia and the counterbalance with England and Charn and these worlds that you get to visit. It's such a beautiful story. But then again, how could I say not The Last Battle, not the Horse and His Boy, or The Silver Chair? It just, they're all such wonderful books. And I think probably, I don't know if I can really pick a favorite character. You know, I'd started this website called Narnia Web when I heard there was going to be a movie coming out. And I set up a forum, and I had to put a username in. And I stopped and thought, well, what am I going to put in? I mean, Narnia is a great world for having all these imaginative characters, and it'd be a great place to have usernames where people pick characters. But what am I going to pick? I don't know. So I started thinking and thinking. And all of a sudden, it just really seemed like Tyrion would be just about perfect, the last king of Narnia. So from there, the rest is history.
If you'd like to be a voice of Narnia Web, send your voice to the email address in the episode description.
Here's your C.S. Lewis Minute. I'm William O'Flaherty from EssentialCSLewis.com. You obviously know that C.S. Lewis wrote the Narnia series, but did you also know he wrote other fiction? For example, a series of science fiction books. If you haven't read any of Lewis's works besides Narnia, this three-part series, known by a variety of names, is what I'd recommend. I'll overview all of them now, and next time give you more details on the first one. As a collection, these works are known as either the Space Trilogy, the Ransom Trilogy, or the Cosmic Trilogy, but I sometimes just call them Lewis's science fiction works for obvious reasons. First is called Out of the Silent Planet, next is Perlandra, and finally, That Hideous Strength. The main character, Elwyn Ransom, unwittingly goes on an adventure to Mars in the first book, and while he isn't featured as much in the final title, he does play a key role for some people to justify calling the series the Ransom Trilogy. Learn more about C.S. Lewis at my website, EssentialCSLewis.com.
Hi, I'm Narnia Nana with today's Narnia Nugget. I will be reading from the Chronicles of Narnia, just as I did every year for my three children as they grew up. This excerpt is from Chapter 1 of The Horse and His Boy. Shasta has just found out that his adopted father plans to sell him into slavery. The horse had lifted its head. Shasta stroked its smooth as satin nose and said, "I wish you could talk, old fellow." And then for a second he thought he was dreaming, for quite distinctly, though in a low voice, the horse said, "But I can." Shasta stared into its great eyes, and his own grew almost as big with astonishment. "However did you learn to talk?" he asked. "Hush, not so loud," replied the horse. "Where I come from, nearly all the animals talk." "Wherever is that?" asked Shasta. "Narnia," answered the horse. "The happy land of Narnia. Narnia of the heathery mountains and the thymy downs. Narnia of the many rivers, the plashing glens, the mossy caverns, and the deep forests ringing with the hammers of the dwarves. Oh, the sweet air of Narnia! An hour's life there is better than 1,000 years in Calamon." It ended with a whinny that sounded very like a sigh. "How did you get here?" said Shasta. "Kidnapped," said the horse, "or stolen or captured, whichever you like to call it. I was only a foal at the time. My mother warned me not to range the southern slopes into Arkenland and beyond, but I wouldn't heed her, and by the lion's mane I have paid for my folly. All these years I have been a slave to humans, hiding my true nature and pretending to be dumb and witless like their horses." "Why didn't you tell them who you were?" "Not such a fool, that's why. If they'd once found out I could talk, they would have made a show of me at fairs and guarded me more carefully than ever. My last chance of escape would have been gone." "And why," began Shasta, but the horse interrupted him. "Now look," it said, "we mustn't waste time on idle questions. You want to know about my master, the Tarkane, and Raiden. Well, he's bad. Not too bad to me, for a war horse costs too much to be treated very badly. But you'd better be lying dead tonight than go to be a human slave in his house tomorrow." "Then I'd better run away," said Shasta, turning very pale. "Yes, you had," said the horse. "But why not run away with me?"
Okay, so those are a few regular segments we're going to have in each episode. Please post any thoughts you have on those below.
Or even thoughts on how we space them out or
right.
Stuff like that. And
but now it's time for Stump a Narnia Webber. This is definitely the one thing listeners wanted to keep. Rillian, are you ready?
No, go ahead.
So this question, actually reading the books wouldn't necessarily help you. This is kind of a different question.
Oh.
So your question, Rillian, is which of the following books by C.S. Lewis was published after The Chronicles of Narnia? I'm going to give you four possible answers here.
Okay.
Is it A, The Abolition of Man, B, A Grief Observed, C, Out of the Silent Planet, or D, The Screwtape Letters? Published after The Chronicles of Narnia.
Okay, so The Abolition of Man is one of C.S. Lewis's works. I don't remember when it was published, but it was, I think, I actually think it was being published in the midst of the Chronicles, perhaps before, actually. A Grief Observed, well, I'll do that one last. Out of the Silent Planet, I'm actually more unaware or unfamiliar with Out of the Silent Planet and the other Ransom Trilogy books than I am some of the others, just because I'm still kind of discovering those. I have read Out of the Silent Planet and liked it a lot. Screwtape Letters was, I think, one of the ones he wrote soon after Mere Christianity. And he was one of his more well-known apologetic works. A Grief Observed was a collection of diaries that he wrote on the death of his after the death of his wife Joy, and he initially wrote them. Well, if you've ever read them, they're really fantastic. But they're basically journal kind of format, and he showed them to a friend, and his friend said, "Jack, you have to publish this," and mm-hmm. So he published it under a pen name. And because C.S. Lewis is a pretty unique writer and was pretty well known, people eventually discovered who it was who wrote them. And so Based on that, I'm going to say, and after that long explanation, I really hope I'm right, that A Grief Observed is the book that was written after all the Narnia books were published.
And if you're wrong, we would be observing your grief, I would say.
Yes.
That is correct. It was published in 1961. As you said, he originally published under a pseudonym because the contents were so personal. And actually, funny story I heard from Douglas Gresham. Friends of his found the book in bookstores mm-hmm. and sent it to him.
It's true.
Said, oh, I think this might help you. So they sent him his own book. They had copies lying all around the house.
That's true. I actually just read A Grief Observed for the first time last fall. Absolutely fantastic book. Mm-hmm. I highly recommend it. Even if you're not in a phase of life where you're going through tremendous grief, it's an excellent work. I loved it.
Mm-hmm. All right. So just to end on here, I spent a huge amount of time writing the outro. You want to go ahead and read the, so we have basically the same outro every episode, I guess. So you can go ahead. If you want to go to the Google Doc called Game Plan, the honors.
Did you title it outro?
I spent like 5 minutes writing this. This is really a very momentous moment right here. Momentous?
Momentous is a word. Moment? Congratulations.
Momentous moment right here.
Outro?
An outro, yes. It's read that.
Okay.
It's really well written.
You've been listening to Talking Beasts. You've been listening to Talking Beasts, a NarniaWeb.com podcast. Be sure to subscribe and post a comment below or in the brand new Talking Beasts Facebook group. You can also email us at podcast@narniaweb.com, brilliant@narniaweb.com, or glumpuddle@narniaweb.com. And to keep up with the latest Narnia movie news, visit narniaweb.com. Look for our next episode in 2 weeks. Until then, further up and further in.
I say narniaweb.com a lot there at the end.